Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I have trouble with the Skype. It disconnects on you a lot. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear you loud and clear. All right,
what?
Good. I'm doing fine. I can hear you really clear.
I hate this. What I was going to say is there's something being socially engineered in our society right now, and it's probably much bigger and much more complex than whatever this true forced loneliness situation is.
Oh, well, for sure. You know, the idea of, first of all, I want to start, I started recording here. I guess it's recording now. It's today's date is December 25th, 2012. It's Christmas Day. It's about 8:58 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what state are you in, Mitchell?
Pennsylvania.
You're in, okay, I'm in Columbus, Ohio. So amazing. Okay, you're coming in crystal clear now. It's sounding good. So when we were talking for about 5 minutes earlier, you had stated that basically you think that this is all social engineering that's happening between the dating scene.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but when you look at people today compared to, let's say, a few decades ago, it almost seems like the spirit or soul has been like sucked right out of them.
Oh yeah, I mean it is. They're absolutely right about that. And you know what? You wonder one thing: how is it that people do socialize to begin with? I mean, when you're on the outside of everything, you kind of look at people and think, you know, what is going on here?
One thing I've observed, a lot of it I feel is also economic, because we have less leisure time today than we did, let's say, back in the '70s, maybe early '80s.
Right. Exactly.
I was really too young to remember it. I mean, I was just, you know, a teenager in the late 70s, early 80s. So that
right.
Pretty much gives away my age.
Right. Well, I'm 42. I was a 50. Teenage. Well, okay. I was a teenager back in the late 80s. And I remember that even we had three different groups of people. We had the preppies, the jocks, and the burnouts. And everybody, no matter what their physical disposition was, they always seemed to find somebody. Like I noticed like the social outcasts, which were called the burnouts, they're the kids that smoked cigarettes and, you know, maybe drank beer on the weekends. Those, and maybe smoked a little weed here and there, but even like nobody was doing heavy drugs or anything like that. But I do remember that if you were not popular, you always had a girlfriend that was maybe also unpopular. In other words, there was always a way to balance things out. Now it's to the point where even the unpopular girls are so picky. But I don't even think there's a such thing as an unpopular girl anymore. In fact, one person on the Love Shy forum a couple years ago posted something to the effect, he says, are women just, today's women just mini celebrities? And God, I thought, oh my God, that is so true. They're like mini celebrities.
I guess it has to do more of today also supply and demand.
Yeah, right. That's why I said earlier when we talked a few minutes, I said that there's a drain in the dating pool because, you know, you can get into biology on this. We had no great war. I'm quoting Fight Club. And there's 1.05 males born every female. I mean, there's all kinds of factors. I mean, we can get into the ultra
hyper. Are you
there? Yeah, I'm here, and you're loud and clear. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me or?
But it's as if, you know, even like I was watching videos of someone like Bill, right? Even someone like that back in the 70s would have no problem getting a date.
Well, he claims otherwise. His situation, I don't like to, you know, judge people. He claims that it's always been that way. And I had to correct him on that because I personally know that it hasn't always been that way, because I remember when I had no problem meeting girls. I wasn't the most popular, but I mean, I could find somebody. I wouldn't be dating a valedictorian or something, but you know, it's just crazy the way things have turned out.
I mean, I've dated attractive women. I've dated, I even been dated hardcore feminist women that wanted to beam all the guys off the planet. But
oh,
it's
really?
Like today, I mean, it's almost like you're unapproachable and it doesn't matter. I mean, no matter who it is, it's almost as if you can't just go up and say hi to people.
Well, no. And I guess we're talking about this, but we're not really looking for a solution. I mean, is there a solution to this? Or are we relegated to just, you know, farting around with computers and, you know, I hate the word hoping. Hoping is such I think Gerald Celente said it's the biggest loser term in the English language, hope. What are we looking for? I mean, what are we trying to solve here?
I don't know if there's a solution. My solution is I'm going to go to places where I know I'm going to fit in the best.
Right. Did you hear my latest interview with that Steve R?
No.
Okay, it's up on my site. You can just click the link there. It's on my website. You can go to it. But go ahead.
But I was just, I came across your videos because I was really interested in Winston Wu's Happy Abroad, because we both lived in the same town up in Washington State, where the people, they were like real icy and cold. And I read an article about it. Then I read his article, and that's how I came across this True Forest Loneliness, movement.
Right. Well, I will say one thing about the people that emigrated to that area of Seattle. There are a lot of Norwegians, and Norwegians are not loving like Italians or Greeks. They're very cold people. I don't want to say cold in a violent way, but they're not real affectionate. And it might describe why
Stoic.
Yes, very. I mean, I Norwegians are not known. I know they brought over here Norwegian sewer rats. We learned that in history one time. They were not the cleanest. They were not real lovey-dovey. And it might reflect that whole culture too. That's possible. I think it's got a huge thing to do with it. But it's of course evolved, and there's more people than just Norwegians living there now. I don't know. I mean, we are an isolated society. You know, we always seem to kind of find somebody. And, here I am on Christmas. I got other circumstances, but I'm alone on a Christmas night. And, I probably could have gone to some church function, but that's not for me right now.
I was watching your videos, and you seem like someone who should not have a problem in the dating scene, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I don't.
Intelligent, you're good looking, you're intelligent, and I'm not trying to sound like, funny or anything, but I'm being honest. I mean,
you're
intelligent, you're highly articulate.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's just that. Let me point this out here. Guys that are much better looking than me, guys that are much more talented and have better incomes than me, go in the same boat. And it's not – when you go on plentyoffish.com, and I'll tell you something, people are – when people want to sit there and argue with me, they can do this. Plenty of Fish is a very good indicator of how the dating scene is, or a dating website. And I say Plenty of Fish because it's a free site. You post a personal on there. You put a fake picture of a better-looking guy. You're not going to get any responses unless you respond, and still it's very limited. But if you're an average-looking guy and you put a picture on there, it's like I just talked to an attorney yesterday on the phone, and this guy has got a good business. And he told me he's so through with the dating scene online. He says it literally is. He says I've put like hundreds of responses to girls' personals out there, and he says he gets no responses. I mean, it's pretty bad. And then it's to the point where you're wondering, well, what's it got to be like to be these girls? They must be getting a lot of options in order to be so picky, you know?
I meet a lot of girls on the meetme.com, but most of them have a lot of issues, or a lot of them turn out to be bisexual.
Okay, meetme or meetup.com?
Meetme.com.
Okay, meetme.com. Okay.
It used to be My Yearbook.
All right, I see. Well, interestingly enough, I don't know what. By the way, are you on a computer now, or are you on your phone?
I'm on an iPhone right now.
Okay, good. You're sounding clear. You're coming in nice and clear here. Go ahead.
But I just was through a relationship I had from early spring until about now with a woman when I met on MyYearbookMeetMe.com. She lives over on the New Jersey side.
Right.
And a lot of the people that I've met, I mean, I have met a series of people on MeetMe or MyYearbook. However, a lot of them, seem to be people that had all kinds of, weird issues.
Right.
But, I have had luck with that. But what I try to do myself is I try to go to places where I know I'm going to fit in.
Right. Do you think you're fitting in?
Well, it depends on where I go. It's just the unfortunate thing is, I'm a struggling artist and also, work a night shift. And, sometimes I have to work overtime. And, I sometimes, as a result, I'll sleep a good portion of the day. So the leisure time I have becomes, very minimal.
Now, are you like a web developer?
No, I do nature photography.
Oh, okay. You're an artist. I'm learning right now, as you believe. I'm I'm kind of changing careers right now. I'm actually, it was an instructor at a technical school, but I want to learn web development, and it's a lot of stuff to learn, man. It's pretty technical, but I'm learning a little bit every day, so it's kind of fun, you know.
I just, you know, really liked your videos out of the best because, you know, you seem like you put more insight on the what was really going on, why this was happening.
Well, I know why it's happening, and I'd like to get some people from the mgtowforums.com site to get on here, but I try to log into there, but they're not taking any new subscribers on there, so unfortunately I can't get on there. But what I was going to say is I'd like these interviews are going to be I'm going to start making lots of, like, maybe a couple interviews a week, and I'd have a library of these things, and then people can listen to these things in their iPhone or iPod at leisure, or in their car on their MP3 player, and then they can really educate themselves on what's going on.
I've listened to most of your videos, believe it or not, on the iPhone.
Oh, awesome. Great. Yeah, that's,
because if I have my phone, it's too much work to have to boot up my computer or laptop.
Yeah, everybody's doing the iPhone. You're ahead of me. I'm still using an Obama phone, but I'm real technically savvy with the other stuff. But anyways, yeah, the phenomenon I've seen now, like, does your life seem like? I mean, okay, let me give you a hypothetical. They say that you got to just be a man and approach lots of women. Did you ever approach women? Do that experiment and see if it works, or?
Actually, I've approached women. I've gotten mixed responses. Believe it or not, I've even done it in New York. I've had anything from people giving me numbers to people telling me, I don't know you, why the F are you talking to me?
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, I can see that the latter being common with today's busy woman. I'm thinking that I've been hearing that cities like New York have a better dating pool, and Washington, D.C. is not far from me. I had considered, you know, going to Washington, D.C. and checking it out. I'm not giving up on it. Like, the overseas approach is not a bad approach, but remember, to travel overseas, you still got to have some money saved, because you're not making, when you're traveling, you're not making money, you're just traveling, you know, so you're spending money, and this money bug is probably the biggest thing that holds most of us back.
It holds me back, too. I mean, I met a couple women actually online that live in the UK.
Right.
And they even mailed me Christmas gifts and all that.
Oh, my God, they're mailing you Christmas gifts? You go.
So, but I'm this, and yes, they know what I look like, and we actually did FaceTime. And but here's the thing, it's just what I've noticed is even in the UK, the women aren't as, like, uptight as they are, you know, here on.
No, they're, no, I would say, I don't know why a lot of people are equating the UK to TFL. I know that it exists there, but I still think that they like to bang, and sex is more open. I mean, if you really wanted to go to the bar, I mean, I know there's probably sausage party bars there too, but I'm thinking that in the UK, they tend to be a little bit more on the rough on the, I don't know what the word is, but they're a little bit more crass is the word. They're just not as, you know, unless you live in London or you're sophisticated, like Oxford educated, they're generally pretty crude people. They pretty much just say what they feel, you know.
You know exactly where you stand right away.
Yeah, well, like, for example, I'll tell you, this is what pisses me off, and I quit drinking beer several months ago, totally. I mean, 100% got off. I was drinking on the weekends a lot, and I noticed something that really annoyed me about, and this is why I think just disgusts me with Americans. Americans will never admit, like, let's say they have a drinking problem, yet our alcohol is, like, sold off the shelves. In Britain, they just say, we love our beer, we love to get drunk. I mean, they're just more forward about it. I mean, we're just more, I don't know, in denial or something.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you have to remember, we live in a very rigid, puritanistic, more authoritarianistic culture here in the States.
Right, exactly.
Never forget that.
Right. And it doesn't hurt the people, the guys that are in the top 20%. I mean, obviously, if you're in the top 20% and you're getting laid all the time or getting phone numbers, then it doesn't hurt. But it does seem to be a problem if you're not, you know. But the question that I ask, and I've asked this question over, is how many people are going through this? Do you think it's in the millions?
I think it's probably a lot more, but no one's going to admit it because it is a very taboo subject. I did this as an experiment. I would talk to some people, even other guy friends. I'm having trouble with the dating scene, and all these guys will brag, I fuck this one, I fuck that one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should have said it on, if you're
recording. That's all right. I'm recording, but I don't give a crap. We don't censor profanity here. Go ahead.
However, a lot of it was all lies. People will not admit that they're having a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like Americans won't admit they have a drinking problem. The people that I know that drink regularly at the bar, if you were to ask them at work, if by someone else, hey, do you drink every day or every 4 days a week, they wouldn't say they do because it's a denial and it's taboo. But yeah, you're right. And it's in so you got Winston Wu, who's a brilliant philosopher, in my opinion. I think the guy, I mean, I know I'm praising the guy too much, but he really does put the pieces together on human disconnectedness in this country.
It's very, you can't really, unless you grew up with people, unless you have a close tie with, certain people, you can't really go out of that group, because if you do and you try to, befriend people, automatically people are going to think there's something wrong with you.
Something else I heard is interesting. I don't know if you'll agree with this, but somebody said this to the effect. I think I was listening to the Just Bill Show, one of the on the it was called the Just Bill Show one time, but Bill Greathouse, he had some guy on there talking one time, and he said something about establishing your social connections at an early age. And he says, well, if you're 40 years old and you haven't established yourself, they're looking at you like, who's this guy? I mean, like, who's this weird guy? Or and if you want to get like a $40,000-$60,000 a year job or 70,000, and you just want to get a job working, you got to know the right people, and that's why our connections are important. So, kind of I think the dating thing and the social thing and the jobs kind of goes hand in hand, so to speak. It unless you're one like if you're a really nerdy guy or a social outcast that's very good at computers, they'll take you on, but they'll do it reluctantly. Like, oh, that well, we got to hire this weirdo because he's good at computers, but we really don't want to deal with him.
They'll probably put you in your own little cubicle and kind of keep you isolated.
Yeah, I think that's what happened with George Sedini.
Now, a lot of people were saying, well, he was like a really good-looking guy. He was like average. He wasn't bad. I mean,
No,
I
he
don't
was
judge.
not good. I'm not being nasty. He was not very good looking, and I think that that hurt him. And he had severe autism. I mean, it did hurt him. And I know it's to the point where they try to say, oh, he was just looking for the young girls. Now, I think he was looking for anybody, but he got the cold shoulder, and boy, that's just the way it goes, you know.
At this point, I'll even go as far as giving women a cold shoulder, depending on the situation, because I just there's certain things that I don't want to deal with. Me being an artist, and also the way I'm wired, because I'm on the like autistic spectrum. I'm kind of stuck in my ways, so I only like to be with people that I know I'm compatible with.
Oh, for sure.
But then again, that's hard to find, because a lot of these people are probably going to be already spoken for and whatnot.
Right. So you want to, so you think it, you, what, how can you change your life at 50? I mean, me and you are running out of time. I mean, I'm not saying it in a bad way, but this is where we got a clock that's ticking, and I don't want to, guys are always fantasizing, oh yeah, wait till they're older and they'll want us, and I don't even think they're going to want us. I don't even want these old women when they're old, but I don't know, maybe things will change in the next 10 years.
Actually, I've always had an attraction to older women.
That's fine, but I'm not going to reward somebody that's been with 50 guys or 100 guys. I guess you will if you're desperate enough, though.
Actually, believe it or not, I'm the kind of person that if I'm with someone, I like to, have that, romanticism. I like to go out and do things. I like to go out and like go on long nature hikes and have dinners and just, do things together. It's not
Right.
even about the sex, because the sex is only a very small piece of the tapestry.
Right. But do you, would you
Don't get
want to
me
do? Yeah. Go ahead.
wrong, I love good, passionate sex, but it's just a small piece of the tapestry. I mean, there's so much more to it. You want to be with someone that you're compatible with, someone you can relate to, and someone that, you have a really deep interconnectedness with.
Right, exactly.
Because why would I want to be miserable? I don't care how attractive she is. If I'm not compatible with that person, that's going to put my life in a living hell, having to deal with that person.
For sure.
I mean, so.
So, I mean, do you have are you financially in a position where you could at least experiment going overseas? Do you have 10 grand to just,
Oh, I plan to, because sometime, this summer I might need to go to Ireland, because, someone that I really connected with real well really wants me to be out there.
Right.
But where it's going to go, how it's going to go, I don't know. As we know, these things are not predictable.
Wow. Well, they are not predictable, and we don't know where they're going.
I've learned when I'm out there, I don't try to expect too much.
Well, you know what? I think that I don't know. Do you ever think of just manning up and just accepting? You know, the term manning up is obviously a social engineering cliche, but it does make you wonder if really that's the only way to go. Sometimes I hate to really admit I'm falling into this trap of it, but you know, the idea that, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, you're going to sit there and mope about it and, you know, wonder when, you know, I mean, obviously going out doesn't sure as hell. I mean, I go to the grocery store all the time. I don't know where people claim you can meet people at the grocery store. I think it's a bunch of BS.
Actually, believe it or not, saying hi to people in a grocery store, and this is even my experience, people get really weirded out about that anyway, because I have done that as an experiment, and that's something that will really weird people out. And it doesn't matter if you're reasonably attractive.
Oh yeah, probably, yeah. But of course, you know, you. Oh boy, I don't know.
But you know, it depends on the situation. There's this other guy who criticized everyone. Ever heard of this guy ZenMac.com?
I've heard of all. There's so many of these guys out there now. That there was a Zanparian, and there was, of course, David D'Angelo, and all these guys. All they're all pussy beggars, basically. What they do is they blame the guy for all his failures, and women's behavior is not held into account. It's always the guy that's got the problem.
Well, there's this guy, this African American guy, ZenMac.com. Another name he used was Player Supreme.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, what a guy's a piece of work. Yeah, he's
that guy's whacked.
Well, he is whacked, but he claims that he's getting all these women, or then he claimed he wasn't. See, he contradicted himself. Let me tell you what he did one time. He was telling, after the George Sedini thing happened, he was going on and saying, you know, I could have got this guy women and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then he started talking about, like, the looks didn't matter. The big thing with all PUA or pickup artist people is the looks don't matter. Well, then he did a series of videos where he took the pictures of guys that were good-looking and dorky-looking, and he was admitting that it was about looks. And this is a contradiction, because on one hand he kept preaching the idea that looks didn't matter, and then he did this comparison video where he showed this guy that was like had buck teeth and was like glasses and didn't look too smart, and he goes, and this is your typical guy that goes to a PUA seminar, and he was just like making it so obvious that this was what it was all about. The looks issue is what it's about.
It is about looks. It is about, you know, how you're dressed. It's a lot of different factors. You know, you're dealing with a combination of looks. You're dealing with different, you know, social class situations.
Right.
You're dealing with different subcultures and a lot of other things that play a factor in it.
Right. A gym membership can do good for you as far as self-esteem. I can tell you, confidence in yourself. I'm starting to run marathons again. I ran one in November. And I'm actually training and doing more stuff now, but I can tell you, physical fitness can definitely negate a lot of that feeling of despair, because they talk about this thing called mind, body, spirit. You got to really have all three of those going for you. You can't be fat, out of shape, and smoke cigarettes and drink booze and you know, be happy all the time. You're stressed out. You got to have a balance of everything in your head, and I think the physical fitness does help. It's not going to cure your sexual horniness, but, well, it will a little bit. It'll knock it down a peg.
Actually, I do a lot of nature hiking. I'm out there doing photography. I'm out in nature a lot, especially during the spring, summer, and fall months.
Right.
So I'm getting a lot of my exercise doing that, because I go on long, long nature hikes.
Really? So you do, like, nature photography with the digital? What are you doing?
Digital camera.
Everybody's digital now. I guess nobody's using 35.
But I use a Canon.
Yeah.
And you know, I do a combination of macro nature, you know, sky. I plan to do some good winter scenes if we get some good snow.
All right.
But awesome. What I was saying is, if it was up to me, I'm more interested in meeting someone that I know I'm compatible with. And you know what? If there are girls that, you know, told me to get lost, you know what? They probably weren't compatible, and they were doing me a big favor.
Right. Well,
and
that's...
I'm not trying to, you know... you know, take kind of a defensive attitude towards it. But, you know, it's the truth. I feel that, you know, if I'm around people that I know I'm compatible with, I want to be happy with that person. And I'd rather be alone than be with someone that I know I'm not compatible with.
Let me ask a question. You used the term, you said earlier when we talked, you said that you had Asperger's syndrome. Why do you diagnose yourself as that? How do you know you have that?
I do, but it's like very mild.
Okay. Because I'm going to say that these things that are being categorized seem to be so, they're detrimental, because once you say Asperger's, you get pigeonholed into this negative category. And I just think that it's a shame that the really talented, introspective people or the very talented people get put into these categories, and and then now they can't procreate because no woman wants them.
I'll tell you, education system as well, that's also the fault, because we were never designed to be intellectual, artistic, creative. We were basically designed to be robots to go out into the workforce.
Exactly. And you want to know something? The more and more time that I spent alone, and I'm not working full-time now anymore, but I'm still working part-time, and I can honestly tell you, I'm learning to live on less, and I'm learning to get in touch with myself to the point where I'm telling the system, the matrix, to go fuck itself. Pardon my language, but I'm literally telling it to go fuck itself. I am so sick of this whole matrix we're living in, where we feel like we got to have all these things. Well, shit, I got lots of nice clothes, but they're not fancy Italian designers. But I'm really in touch with myself and in the world, and I realize that this is a big fucking game, this world. And if, like, look, for example, let's say I was on the internet and I was watching this. This is how fucking stupid television is. They have this show on TV called The Doctors, and I just happened to see it. I was visiting somebody in town, and like they had the topic was shopping anxiety, and they were doing their electronic or the graphic animated blow up of the brain and what happens to the serotonin level. And I'm thinking, these women, they're going out shopping, and it's like oh, they're gonna, this is the new topic, is, and then like I'm watching them, they're putting lipstick on a male doctor on this like Oprah style show. I'm thinking, this is the most fucking insane stuff in the world. Like, this is what passes as normality now.
You know, I don't watch TV.
I don't either. I usually don't either.
I don't watch TV unless I'm going to, buy, go rent or buy a DVD like that I enjoy, because what's on TV now is, words can't describe how stupid it is.
Yeah, and it doesn't teach you, unless you watch the Learning Channel or something, or the Discovery, like learn about volcanoes.
Even that is not what it was, a decade ago.
No, you're right, because it's all becoming politically biased. But before, it was like all about nature, and you would see things like like volcanoes exploding in Japan and stuff. There were some cool things that you could watch. But outside of the fact that, outside of the nature stuff, there's really not much to lean on anymore. It's just plain crap. I don't subscribe
It's Pawn Stars. I mean, why would I want to watch that? Whatever's on there is just beyond. It's like beyond stupid. These reality shows are stupid. Look at even back in the 70s and 80s, you had Little House on the Prairie. I mean, even though it was kind of corny, at least it was kind of wholesome.
Yes, and the show I used to love was Eight is Enough. That was a great show growing up in the late 70s, early 80s. That was a fantastic show. Families, there was a show called Family with Chrissy McNichol. I mean, there were some really good shows that dealt with human drama. I love human drama shows, and they got really stupid toward the end, but I mean, it's like now they're just all, there's nothing about human. You notice that the trend today is not about human decency. It's about just getting what you can out of the world.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's just almost robotic, shallow, and like I said, it seems like people's spirit was like sucked right out of them. They no longer have a spirit. It's almost like if you look into their eyes, it's almost like there's like nothing. It's almost like tombstones.
Well, I don't know. I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that probably half the people are on a Prozac or some sort of mind-altering drug. Honestly, it's got to be. I mean, I don't know what else to describe the fact that you've got all these people out there just totally, it's just to say, really is not my thing,
And another thing I've also noticed, like, if you watch, okay, here's another thing about a men. if you look at how men looked in the shows, like let's say back in the 60s, 70s, or even 80s, where, okay, you're still good looking, you're still attractive, but there's kind of a ruggedness to you.
Right.
Not where like guys are all tooled out and to the point where they don't even look real.
Right. Well, I tell you something. If there's any industry that has really done this, is the porn industry. I remember, I was a kid. I did used to watch some porn in the 80s. I was a teenager. I knew some guy that had a bunch of them, and I rented them off him. He had a video store, there was a video store in town. You could rent them, and as long as you're 18, you can get them. But I watched a few of them. You know, I remember back in the 80s, the male porn stars did not really. They looked like just like normal. They just looked like normal buffoony guys. But then all of a sudden, like the late 90s and the 2000s came along, and all the male porn stars are these real belligerent assholes. Like they're punching the woman in the ass, and they got these tattoos, and their muscles are pumped up with steroids. I mean, and they're almost creating this. Now, this is just me saying this, but when you look at modern porn today, which is the reason I won't watch it. They're almost saying to you, hey, fuck you, you're not ever going to get this because you can't be the big, you have to be a big asshole like this guy in order to get this. And it's like where, like back in the 80s, you had guys like Ron Jeremy and, Joey Salvaro, which were two big porn stars. And they were like buffoons. They were like dorky kind of buffoons, but they were funny. And of course, there was more of a storyline, but these guys are like, they're insane now. These porn stars, it's almost gotten to the point where even the porn industry has amped it up to the level of sticking it right in your face and saying, fuck you, you ain't getting this.
I think that's done for a reason as well, for some kind of social engineering, because not only is it the sex that we want, but we want that woman because we want to be loved, we want to be nurtured as well too.
Well, what they're doing, though, and you'll see this trend with porn, is that the guys are all these real assholes. Like, yeah, fuck you. Come on. Yeah, you fucking cunt. And then they're like, they got these arms that are pumped up, and they're not natural. There's no way that these guys have the discipline to work out regularly with weights without steroids. Kind of like your typical cops with these pumped up arms. It's all steroids. And these guys, and the more steroids you use, the more insane your brain gets. I mean, the people that use steroids, they mentally go insane. They really do. And so what happens is you see these modern day porns, there's not even a real storyline to them now, and the guys are punching the woman and grabbing them by and doing all this goofy, and they're letting you know that this is the way sex is today, and you are never going to have this because you don't fit the role of this asshole. And so now they've even, like, it's like they're pricing porn out of the market for the average person, that you can't even get a woman at all because you don't meet up to these standards, you know.
Well, you know what, if I don't meet up to her standards, then I don't need her. I mean, that's my attitude at this point. Like I said, I'm not going to be in a situation that I'm going to be stuck with and I'm not happy with.
Right.
I mean, that's another way of looking at it. Now, if by chance I'm getting to the point, if I don't meet someone, I mean, I just had a relationship that I had over the summer that kind of went south on me. I mean, we're still good friends, and she happens to be moving to California next week.
Yeah.
But, and it's not like, you know, even the sex, that's not everything to me. I mean, because we did a lot of things. We went on long nature hikes, but there was a lot of other things that were going on too.
Well, I don't think the sex is everything, no, but I think that if you're deluding yourself, I think that the sex is used to control people. I mean, there's no doubt that this thing is being used. But I'm not, see, the thing that, what I love about MGTOW, M-G-T-O-W, is that they are literally just saying, screw the system. And what they're doing is they're going out there and they're just saying that I'm not going to participate in any of this crap. Now, I'm not going to the bars, which is a ripoff big time. I'm not going out to the malls. I'm not going out and buying girls Valentine's Day gifts. I mean, I don't know how much more of a rebel I can be. I'm going my own way. I'm not going to play that game with the marriage, divorce, alimony, child support. I mean, my God, it's like the system is designed to go down this path.
I was married about 5 years ago. I was divorced. I've been divorced for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, my ex-wife, she was reasonably attractive. She ended up leaving me for some ugly tweaker dude.
Tweaker? What's a tweaker dude?
Speed freak.
Oh, okay. Well, he probably had access to some good drugs.
But, you know, she left me for someone that was so grotesquely ugly. I can't even understand how, you know, she can stand the guy even touching her.
Well, you're not the typical TFLer then, because you had somebody in your life. I mean, sometimes there's different degrees of TFL, but or true force loneliness. But I'm thinking that you had somebody in your life that at least was willing to accept you for who you were. How long were you married?
We were married for about 4 years.
Okay, so how'd you meet?
Believe it or not, it's a strange thing. I was coming from San Francisco, and I was taking a Greyhound, and the Greyhound broke down, and she was on the Greyhound when it broke down, and that's how we met.
Wow. Talk about serendipity.
But, you know, she ended up, you know, leaving me for a tweaker dude.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the good thing about it is her in-laws, you know, pretty much adopted me as their son, in a sense, because she met someone that they can despise more than me, being kind of like this radical, you know, hippie type dude.
Right. Oh, well, I mean, we're living in different times. You know, you're lucky you're not in your early 20s. I'd say that things are really tough for these guys. I mean, I'm hearing guys from all different age groups. You got to experience the other side. I don't know. I think that I'm thinking that there's something to say about the MGT. Do you consider yourself MGTO, or you really would like to find somebody?
I guess I would like to find, you know, someone that I'm compatible with. But you know what? At this point, I'm getting to the point where if I don't, then it wasn't in the cards.
Right. I'm leaning more toward MGTO, because the more I read about the marriage thing and the fact that there's no advantage to be in a marriage, I don't see the point why anybody would want to participate in it at this point.
But to leave me, this, you know, leave me for something like that. I mean, like, it's not even a matter of bad boy. I mean, some of these women will go for people that are like real pieces of shit. A bad boy is someone who might sit by the Delaware River, you know, maybe have a motorcycle or drive a souped up car and smoke a fat one.
Right.
I mean, that's a bad boy. These people that they're into are total pieces of shit.
Okay, so a bad boy and a piece of shit are two different things in your book,
exactly.
Right? Oh, I agree, yeah.
I would be pretty much, in a sense, bad boy. I'm nonconformist. I beat to a different drummer.
Right.
And yeah, at different points, I do connect with different people. I'm not going to lie about that, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes it can be a lonely road. Sometimes I do go through stretches in life where people don't want to be bothered.
Right. I think that's true. And I think that you've got to make up your mind what you want to do. Now, do you have a strategy? What's your strategy? Other than maybe be somebody that might want to go on out and try to meet people. I mean, are you just pretty much done with this?
Actually, I wouldn't say I'm done. If someone comes along, that would be great. However... Here's the thing. I'm not going to, you know, waste all my energy going into places that I know I'm not compatible with.
Ah, I see. Makes sense.
I mean, I'm not going to waste my energy. I'm not going to... the whole idea, and you know what? Also, in a sense, I'm not trying to talk like a PUA, but confidence does help. And a lot of us, we've been crushed. A lot of guys have been crushed so bad that we have a lot of deeply rooted, you know, baggage, and unfortunately people can pick that up.
Well, that's I want to say that I agree with that, but I have been at a worse time than that in my early 20s, mid-20s. I've been emotionally crushed in other issues that I don't want to get into right now. And I can tell you, when a woman likes you, you would be surprised at what they will do to get into your zone. And what I'm saying is, if a girl really likes you and you're feeling your worst, if they really think you're cute and attractive, they will just, oh, honey, I mean, they'll put their hands on your hands, and they might inadvertently bump their boob into you and stuff, which is so obvious that they like you. I used to play the dumb kind of doofus where I would pretend like I didn't know what the girl was after, but I knew she liked me. I would say that, I don't know, being confident, I mean, what is the definition of that? Because if you're ugly, what do you call that, being confident? Because if you come across as confident, you're just going to be considered an arrogant, ugly asshole. So
that's
I don't.
About it.
Well, but I'm saying that the idea that women are looking for this confidence is crap because if you're ugly and unattractive and you appear to be so-called confident, you're just going to be seen as an ugly jerk, and they're not going to want you anyways. But if you're
exactly.
I think that the looks issue has more to do with this than anything else. Anybody that sits there and says looks don't matter is off their rocker. They matter in every height matters, looks matter. If you're a tall, good-looking guy, it's very unlikely you will struggle in life unless you get into drugs or something, you know?
I mean, believe it or not, I'm not that tall. I mean, I'm in good shape and everything. I'm not that tall. I have really good, strong, all-American facial features and all that, and I'm bald.
Right, right. Well, smart that you're bald. Yeah.
But then again, here's the thing. I mean, I also know where to go, and I've also learned who to approach and who not to.
Right.
But I just wanted to say, I do like some of Bill's videos, even though
right.
he is, you know, kind of very overly dramatic.
Yeah, I'm glad you like him. He doesn't do as many of the good ones, and he loops a lot of the same ideas over and over again. I think, you know, some of the things we already know. He'll say the term "people in today's society." People, well, I know people in today's society. How many times you got to tell me that, you know?
But then again, I've known, you know, guys that you know looked a lot like Bill, that
yeah.
have no problem meeting dates.
Really. You're seeing that without the money issue or anything?
I mean, I've known, you know, men that looked, you know, very much like Bill. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I mean, he's might not be, you know, Mr. Pretty Boy, but he, you know, he's not really ugly or anything.
Well, I wanted to say something, though. It has to do with where you are, too. Because if you're not a pretty boy and you grow up in a town where everybody's very cliquish, then yes, you can see an unattractive guy dating an attractive woman, okay? And then this is like in very cliquish communities. I moved to a small town one time, and I'll tell you exactly, that's exactly how the game works, is that you've got like so many, you've got only a certain amount of women and a certain amount of guys, and they naturally grow up together, so they hook up. And since they don't trust any outsiders, they manage to hook up with their own people, and it's kind of like a tribal society. So I tend to think that anytime you see an unattractive guy with a somewhat attractive girl or average-looking girl, what I'm thinking is maybe they grew up together and they're real tribal, and they don't date and marry out their tribe. You know, that's what I think. But I don't think an average ugly guy can just go out in anywhere, any day, any town, and just pick up women. I think that's just crazy. They think he's ugly.
But I think, you know, Bill, you know, could meet somebody if he went to the right place.
I disagree. Why don't you talk to him and tell him that he's up the same alley as I am about this, is that you can't just go anywhere and expect women to, you know, I used to do that too. Like I would go out on Friday nights and I would go to singles dances and things. And I tended to think that it's really a waste of time, period.
I don't go to bars. I don't go to nightclubs because I don't believe in it.
Well, it's not. Well, what is your belief system? What don't you believe in?
Well, I feel that it's something that's very shallow. And why should I have to get drunk to have the guts to talk to somebody?
Yeah, and it's a sausage party. It's always dudes that show up. I mean, most of the people that show up in the bar are guys, anyways.
And I've had similar experiences that you had. Like I was watching one, you know, listening to one of your podcasts about. You know, you got a number from a girl in a bookstore, and you called her, and, you know, she completely flaked on you.
Oh, she got, yeah, that was one where she said, don't ever fucking call me. And it was weird that she, you know, it's okay, well, why did you give me your number? Well, maybe she did it at the spur of the moment, but I should have realized at some point that, that you know, if she wanted to talk to me the first time, she would have called me back.
There's one good thing about, you know, even though where I live in the East Coast, it's very brash and, you know, kind of has a roughness around it. Because I live, you know, about 70 miles south of New York. I'm right outside of Philadelphia.
I heard Philadelphia's got a crappy dating scene, too.
But here's the thing. Because, you know, I grew up here, I seem to, you know, connect well with people to a point.
Right.
But it all depends on where you go. I mean, Philadelphia is a weird place where Philadelphia could be very clicky.
Right, exactly. Oh, it's very clicky. Philadelphia is extremely clicky. Unless you're a part of, like, I know they have a very big Jewish community in Philadelphia. Maybe you, if you were Jewish, you could. Are you Jewish or?
I'm Jewish, and you know what? I totally do not connect with my own people at all.
Okay. So then you are Jewish. Okay, I saw your name, and it did look like a Jewish name. So you don't connect with Jewish people. Is it because you're atheist, or you don't really? Because most a lot of Jewish people don't even lean toward religion.
The reason why is a lot of the women that are in a lot of Jewish women tend to be some of your most pickiest.
Oh yeah, they're the first to marry a Gentile if he's good looking and he's got money.
Like these Japs are. I don't know how. I mean, words can't really describe it. They're very picky, very intolerant, very judgmental,
even toward other, even toward their fellow Jews, right?
Exactly.
Can I say something? This is a very interesting thing. You know, Jewish people have been like the more educated ones have been talking about the intermarriage is destroying their culture. But you know, I know the guys do it too. But women are the epitome of the reason why men have to be in charge of the reproduction, because women are the first women to go out there and intermarry outside other races. I mean, as far as like. They're the quickest to because of hypergamy. Let's say you grow up in an Italian community and everybody's Italian, but say the girl that's living in the community decides, oh well, I can marry some wealthy Irish guy or Jewish guy. Well, what's she going to do? She's going to marry the wealthy Irish or Jewish guy. You know, women tend to be, because of their hypergamy, they're the first to chase after whatever they can get with financially. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So it's not going to matter about, you know, their culture. It's going to matter about, you know, financial and status instead.
Right. And so here's the thing. Jewish people people stereotype that they all got money, which is not true. They don't all have money. And so if you're a nice Jewish boy and you're making $50,000 a year or less, and you want to find a nice Jewish girl, you better join a Hasidic Jewish community, because you ain't going to get one. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know too many Jewish girls marrying Jewish guys that make $40,000 a year.
The type of women that I'm most attracted to, it's not a matter of whether they're Jewish or Gentile or whatever, right? I'm more attracted to women that tend to be other artsy type women that tend to have more of a beatnik type edge to them.
Right, yeah, and those women are in demand, though, too. You got to understand, I thought, I kind of like the gothic, the beatnik women, too, but they seem to, the beatnik women are very cliquish, too, in the sense that they just don't talk to strangers. It's not like you can just walk up to a beatnik woman and say, hey, baby, you know. They're very, I kind of got that impression when I went to this ComFest thing. You know, I don't know if you think that beatnik women, I tell you who pointed that out was Winston Wu. Winston Wu was talking on in his, I was reading his ebook, and he said that, you know, he went to one of these hippie festivals and the girls were talking to him, and he goes, it never alluded to them that maybe I might be interested in sex too, but no, they just treated me like I was some puppy dog, and oh sure, they would talk to me, but under no way, shape or form was I gonna get any. And he goes, and these are supposedly the progressive artsy fartsy hippie types, you know.
A lot of it could be very deceiving.
Yes, but see, I was thinking that, oh, these artsy-fartsy hippie types, these pot smokers, oh, they're so loving and they'll take me in and I'll get laid, whatever. But you find out that they're no different than everybody else. They've got their own little clique and that's it.
People are also scared of one another, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch the news and everything. People out there are really scared.
Right. What do you think that they're afraid of? Okay, now, you heard of Alex Jones? He's that guy on the internet? Yeah, he does.
Yes. A lot of people are afraid of crime. You know, you read the statistics as far as, like, the rapes and all the abductions and the Ted Bundys and all the things.
Right. Well, I had gotten to the impression thought that the world is not necessarily one way. Like Alex Jones starts to paint it, oh, the global elite are doing this and that. I think that there's so many different things going on. It's really hard to put a finger on what's causing all of this.
It's more complex than just one thing.
Yes, I don't believe in. Yeah. I hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
It's more complex than just one or even a few things.
It is
a lot of things. things.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of things. And to like one person, people, I call it a proprietary niche agenda. It's when a person takes on a cause. Let's say that they want to blame the world's problems on the Jesuits. Okay, and I hear this all. This is so ridiculous. There's some people that believe that the Jesuits control the Catholic Church is the reason why the world's screwed up, and so they'll make this. They'll build this template around this thing about the Jesuits. These Jesuits are running the media. These Jesuits are controlling the educational. And they'll build their whole philosophy around one cause, and they say, this is the reason why this problem exists. And then they'll ignore other things. Like, there's people that will acknowledge true forced loneliness, but they won't acknowledge that there's a world government. In other words, they only pick and choose their battles. And I think that there's a lot of this shit going on right now.
Well, the Jesuits, a lot of people, blame the Jews for the world's problems too.
Right. Of course.
That could be very dangerous because a lot of innocent people can get hurt.
Right. I do think that Jews, there is a Jewish elite that does have power. I mean, you have the AIPAC lobby, and you have different Jewish power structures. But if you really go into the Jewish community, there's more dissension and there's more lonely Jewish people like yourself, even that it don't fall into the paradigm of what people are saying,
No, believe it or not, most Jews are just average, everyday working class.
And a lot of them get suckered into the same things too. I mean, if they were smarter, they would be not getting. There's more Jews that are getting into PUA because they can't find anybody. So that some of them get suckered into these things too. So I think that you can go down this path with this stuff, but we're talking about the dating scene. How do we put what do you think is so weird? I mean, don't you think that's crazy when a guy can put a personal ad on the internet and not get any responses, but women get like 50 in a day?
You know what? I can even put unattractive women on there and she would still get plenty of responses.
Well, I know. I totally agree. Yeah, I hear you. You said you could put unattractive women online and they'll still get plenty of responses.
I mean, I could put something that would send, Godzilla and King Kong running for the hills and she would still get plenty of responses.
Yeah.
But if you put an average or a reasonably, average good-looking guy on there, it would still be rough.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. And I'm not one to go the first of all, it's not about the sex. It's more than just that. It's the relationship thing. And I don't know. Do you really want to have a relationship, one of these things called a female, with all the crap you put up with?
A lot of them today have a lot of baggage. A lot of them today, things are more complex than it would have been, let's say, a few decades ago. People are jaded.
Yeah.
I mean, I know on the TFL, you guys put it on feminism, but my mom was a hardcore feminist radical.
Right. Was your mom like a communist feminist kind of that in that same genre?
Real hardcore. And she had against me going out and getting dates and all that. As long as I was respectful to the women.
Yeah. So do you think that her being Jewish had a lot to do with it too? Because obviously Jews and feminism kind of go together very well.
Probably. I mean, I've met, I've even dated women that were hardcore feminists. I've dated women that were hardcore, tomboy type. Right. I think whatever it is that's going on, it's not even in favor of feminism. Because even women are looked at and treated like objects.
Well, what's happening, I think, is they're using sex to control people, and I don't think that women want the hardcore feminism. I think women want to be taken care of again. Now here's the argument: the MGTO community says no, fuck that. We don't even want to go back to traditionalism. In other words, traditionalism was the guy would protect the woman, and everyone would know their place in society. But the guy would still be the battering ram, and he would be the one to jump in front of the semi truck to save her life. And of course, she lives and he dies. There's a lot of guys that are saying that the cost dollar averaging of this whole relationship of men and women is obsolete. Now, this is a radical approach. Have you ever heard of Stardust on the internet?
No.
Okay, Stardust, by God, he's got a lot of listeners and viewers, and he kind of gets dry. He reads off a script now, and it drives me nuts. But when he was like doing off the cuff stuff, it was really good. He used to do some really good stuff, and it drives me nuts when people read off a script because then they don't slow it down, and you can't digest what they're saying. But he's done a lot of stuff regarding MGTOW. This guy's a radical. I mean, you want to talk about radical. He really believes that there's no point in any relationship between a man and a woman because he says that based on his readings and his studying this whole subject that women basically are a parasitic creature that really suckle off the man for as much as they can get. They give birth to the child, but they really have no interest other than their biological offspring. So for a woman to steal the children from the husband is nothing because she has no vested interest in him anyways. He's not her blood. And so she's got the children, and she's got his financial resources. She's got the state to protect her, which is the ultimate of hypergamy, the state. And so he's of the opinion that under no circumstance does any marriage work out with a woman. I don't know. Do you think that's kind of extreme?
Well, here's the thing. In a lot of ways, we're no different than a lot of other species of animals we share the planet with.
Right.
And a lot of our organs kept that squelch so we can function as a human society.
Yeah, right. You're kind of cutting out a little bit. I don't know if Skype's...
But we are.
Okay, let's say that again. Okay, so you're saying that we... But the question, the quiz, I don't know if you got... Yeah, I'm here. I hear you, but you're kind of cutting out a little bit.
Like, for instance, like the female praying mantis will eat the male praying mantis after the male... praying mantis mates with.
Right, the black widow spider does the same thing.
And also, so with your honeybees, they'll actually, you know, kick the drone out in the nest to die.
Right, well, yeah, you're absolutely right.
So it even happens in the animal kingdom.
It does happen in the animal kingdom, and it's a sad situation, but what it's sad to say is that, okay, we have this situation that Stardust is talking about, showing that, in his opinion, he doesn't believe that any relationship between a man and a woman has any logical credibility to it, because when a man is with a woman, all it really is a business relationship, and or for the woman. And once she can get what she can out of it, she's done. Now, I find it hard to believe only because there are people married for 75 years, and then I'd have to say, well, what is a reason for that? And his reason is, well, not all women are like that. He doesn't like that expression, but there's got to be something that's doing this. Could it possibly be that maybe this is the argument I'm in here?
Have a good holiday. I'm at work right now.
The question that I raise is this. Could it be that the modes are outdated because, I mean, this is the thing I wanted to say. If women are given free rein, is it natural to say that they will go the route that they've gone today? So in other words, most people think that what we have today is women's name. Feminism today is what it really is women's biological nature unleashed to the human race. And it makes sense now because they have no restrictions now and they're just banging everything they can get their hands on.
I guess it all depends on the different situations as well, too.
Okay.
It also depends on how people were raised.
Right, it
does. Upbringing, and a lot of people are being raised by electronic devices instead of by actual parents.
Right.
You know, right now, the TV, the computer is their mommy and daddy. Mm-hmm. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear you. I'm listening.
You know what? No, people today, unfortunately, people today are not friendly. People today are very judgmental. And it's just people in general.
So we really have no solution to this then,
right.
Do we?
Right. It's just people in general right now. And a lot of it is economically based. You have to remember a couple decades ago, we had a really good industrial economy with unions. And we had a job market that was conducive to the average everyday American working person.
Right.
And today, our economy is really bad.
Right. And, well, I mean, you're saying that this Do you think that hypergamy, this is the issue that they talk about, though, hypergamy. Hypergamy is only wanting to marry up the scale, which is what, you know, you're talking about Jewish American princesses being like this. Could it be that hypergamy is the one of the major factors in if a woman out-earns a man by double his income, does she want anything to do with him?
I guess it all depends, you know, on the situation. Here's another factor we have right now you have to remember is we are all under a lot of stress.
Well, I'm choosing not to be, but you're right. Generally speaking, you're right.
All of us, like you and I, probably think more in a kind of beatnik kind of way.
Right. I'm not letting it stress me because I know it's all a big template by the New World Order to get us to go crazy.
A lot of people are under so much stress, and that alone is, you know, not going to be good for relationships.
No.
I mean, that alone, I mean, it doesn't take a lot to destroy a relationship. All it takes is a few little stressful events or a few little, you know, hard knocks or a few little crises, and that's all it takes, and it's nobody's fault.
Right. So you think that the stress level is probably enough to make you a turn off to a woman?
Or women turn off to us, or enough to destroy relationships in itself.
Right. Well, money is a stress factor right there.
Winston Wu, you know, mentioned that, you know, relationships here in the States fleet real easy.
Right. Well, they do. You know, yeah, for sure.
We are under so much stress. We have so much expected of us. We're actually constrained and forced to try to fit in, because if we don't, it could, you know, cost us, you know, our job. It can cost us, you know, a lot.
Right.
It caused us to become completely economically and socially marginalized.
Mm-hmm. But I think that it hurts the most when you're a guy and it's being women the one marginalizing you, because men have nobody to turn to. You know, let's face the fact. We can't cry to our fellow guys. I mean, we don't have any cliques. Women at least have their little cry sessions. Men don't connect at any level other than the battlefield. I heard one guy leaving a note on one of the forums. He said something to the effect that the only way men really connect emotionally is when they're fighting a war on the same battlefield. And then, yes, they're soldiers in the army. They love their country, whatever. But beyond that, they're always competing with each other.
And we live in a very competitive society here in the United States.
Right.
You have to remember our society is very competitive, and we are, because we are a capitalistic society, we're very competitive, and also because there's less women even with our age bracket, it's more competitive.
Oh, tell me about it, yeah.
It's a supply and demand. I mean, is there a way out of it? I don't know. All we can do is hope for the best and do what we can do and basically, you know where to go and know where we're going to fit in.
Yeah, but now economically, you're on the better end of the scale. You're doing pretty good in your job?
Actually, I'm doing okay, but you know what? Right. I'm not going to put... You know, economics, because, you know, anyone could lose a job just like that today.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I've been down that road. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, it's almost like, that's why I prefer to work jobs that I'm more by myself with less people, because the less people we have around, the less drama, the less likely you're going to find yourself in some kind of jam.
Right. Wow, interesting.
And another thing I also wanted to say about disabilities like Asperger's, dyslexia, or attention deficit disorder, is if you're a male, you're more likely going to be pulled out in the mainstream and isolated into special classes as you're growing up.
Well, a girl with Asperger's doesn't have any problem. I mean, it's like I saw a girl with Asperger's a couple years ago on YouTube, and she's talking about it, and she had it. Very rarely women have it, but she had it, and she had a normal boyfriend or whatever, and I'm thinking, well, man, that's weird. And then I thought, well, no, it's not weird, because she was an attractive woman, but there's plenty of guys that are willing to do it. You know, I'm telling you, the competition is fierce. Some observation I wanted before we get off here, because I don't want to lose my focus on here. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever studied the sociological trend of like young, when I've seen young girls that are very popular and very like good students in college, did you ever notice that those girls that are like virgins always seem to get married like super fast? Like there's almost like, like if a girl's 22 years old and she's not been like a real ditz brain and she's like got a good family, these girls get swept up so fast that there's like no time to catch these girls. I mean, they're like swept up at age 22, they're already married.
Yes, and I personally think that's too young to get married.
Well, it is, but I've noticed that trend because there's so many girls, like I knew girls from my neighborhood that fell into the good girl class, and every one of them found a husband that not only married them but made good money. And there's something going on that maybe the guys instinctively instinctively what's happening is on an instinctual level the guy says my opportunity is very slim that I got to get it now, and they make their move early.
You know what, I really think we believe that because like I said, like when I was growing up, like if one relationship didn't work out, another one would.
Right. Okay, but what when you have these good girls that get married young by some nice guy that's got a good job, the only thing I can conclude is that the guy realizes that if I play the field, I'm going to lose this girl. Like, do you ever see the typical old hillbilly, oh, Bobby Sue, I love you, you for me, I'm going to marry you right now, here's a ring. You know, he's infatuated with this girl, Bobby Sue, to the point where he wants to marry her now. He doesn't want to take a chance that she'll go out and find some other dude.
Yes.
So what I'm thinking is a lot of these good girls out there, there's no, if you're a nice girl and you're average to decent looking, you're almost shoo-in to not only find a husband, but find a guy that makes good money.
Absolutely. I mean, they're a rarity, number one. They're less likely going to have baggage. They're going to be more down to earth. They're going to be more nurturing, and they're going to be more what the average decent guy is going to want.
And what do you think about a girl that's been with 50, 60 guys? She comes into your life. Can you look at her sexual past and ignore it?
The problem is to be quite honest with
you. And it is.
It could also be scary because you know what? Even wearing protection, it's not going to protect you from serious STDs.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the emotional baggage that she picks up from that. She's banged all her bad boys and done all the dirt nasty stuff, and then now she's ready to settle down for a nice sweet Jewish guy like you.
Well, here's the thing. Someone like that is probably going to have a lot of baggage. Someone like that is going to be jaded, and someone like that is also more likely going to play a lot of different head games.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it, because at 50 years old, you got 50-year-old women that are acting like teenagers.
You know, I've even seen women in their 60s that can still, like you would say, whore themselves up.
Oh, for sure. And they're all looking like these cougars. But, you know, it goes to show you the sexual desperation of the young guys today. It's insane. But
you know what? There's women that there's guys that will go for a woman in her early 60s that's attractive.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. I know that. But not me, though. I won't. I definitely don't go that far.
But, you know, who's been with a lot of different people and has a lot of baggage, all I can tell you is, you know, someone like that is more likely going to play, you know, more emotional mind games with you, and it's not going to be a good thing.
Right. Wow, Mitchell. So I guess this is about where the rubber meets. I mean, anything else you want to talk about, or you pretty
well,
much?
That's about it. I'm really glad to have had the chance to talk to you, and I wanted to say that I really enjoyed your videos, including, you know, the others by, you know, Dwayne and Bill as well.
Yeah, well, thanks.
I know
Dwayne and Bill.
There was one video I put up. I'm not really good at putting up these YouTube videos. It's Star Child 2169.
Oh, Star Child 2169. Okay, and what is it about?
And I was saying it had nothing to do with feminism. It had to do more with the economy and all that.
Okay, well, maybe we'll talk about the economy next time. What do you think runs the economy? Are we in a downward spiral right now, or is it just, or Obama is right that, oh, and you have nothing to fear?
Well, what I fear is, okay, the economy at some point might pick up, but it's only going to pick up for a certain few, depending upon what career people are in.
Right.
Like back in the 90s, it was a high-tech industry. Back in the 80s, it was, you know, consulting. And
right.
In the 80s, every Tom, Dick, Harry, his brother and mother wanted to be a lawyer.
Right, exactly.
And that's the reason why with these harassment things, that's why it's so prevalent right now, is because you have a lot of desperate lawyers out there.
Right.
It's not the feminism. It's the fact you have all these lawyers that are ready to sue at the drop of the hat for the slightest thing.
Right.
And you also have, unfortunately, you know, you have women that tend to be kind of weirded out and real fragile and right. are looking for an escape route. And, you know, instead of going to their job that they're getting dogged, they'll be like, oh, I'm going on a cruise.
Right. I had read a, yeah, so you're saying that, well, what does that have to do with the economy, though, what you're talking about?
Well, the economy is bad, so everyone is looking for an escape route.
Okay, so you're...
And well, due to the fact that we have all these lawyers right now that are starving, you know, they're looking for any chance they can to sue for any reason, like especially in workplace situations.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that. I happen to know a couple lawyers that are starving. I mean, they are... I would have thought that these guys were making big money, but they're all starving.
And so a lot of them, so there's a lot of people that are going to benefit. And, you know, a lot of like your... You know, and a lot of it isn't like your real, like, hardcore feminist people that are the problem. It's these women that tend to be, like, real fragile and skittish that will cause the issues.
Right. Interesting.
You know, like... Because I've, you know, even dated people that were, you know, more on that feminist spectrum, and they didn't really care how crude I talked, and they talk crude, and they can out, you know, crude talk me and do circles around me as far as how crude I can talk.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you been with a woman since you broke up with your wife?
A couple here and there.
So it's been kind of limited.
I mean, I've had, you know, different relationships, but... You know, it has been limited.
Mm.
I mean, at least I have, you know, had something, but, you know, it's easier said than done.
I hear you. It doesn't sound like it's a lot of fun you're having.
But you know what?
Oh.
At this point, like, if I meet someone, I do. If not, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mitchell, I'm going to end this interview because I got to only keep these a little over an hour. Let's see. Mitchell, I guess I'm going to just have it posted up on my site, and then you can download it and listen to it, okay?
Okay, but at any rate, I just hope you really enjoyed our conversation.
I got a lot out of it. I liked it with your perspective on things, and people can always learn from different things, and I'm glad you appreciated the work I've done and Winston does. I did an interview. It's up on my site right now, and it you should be able to get to it. So, all right, you have a good day.
And today's also, date. Before you go, yeah. I also wanted to say I would actually love to have a conference with Bill and Dwayne, too. It would be kind of interesting.
Well, Dwayne and him are not together. They're not like cohort or you know partners in crime anymore, but they might be able to work that out. You might be able to get Dwayne by himself. I don't know. I haven't heard from him either. But I'll post.
Like a lot of these, quite honest with you, I think a lot of these trolls are kind of whacked and they're also in denial.
Well, you know what I told Bill one time? I says most of the people that are attacking TFL are TFLers themselves, and they feel like they're better than these other people. They don't want to admit that they're suffering the same thing that we're fighting up against, you know?
I mean, I did make, you know, a video that might have seemed like I was trolling in a sense, but I did explain that it is rough out there.
Yeah, okay.
And I did explain that it's rough, people are scared, and it's understandable that it's rough.
Yeah, it is rough out there. Okay, well, today's date is December 25th, 2012. It's Christmas 2012, and thanks a lot, Mitchell, and you have a great day.
Have a good rest of your Christmas.
Thank you. Bye-bye.